Okay, so my talk title today is Living by Defeat or Living by Design. But first, I have a joke for you, so, okay, remember, you need to laugh heartily, yes? All right, so a husband and wife, they were fighting over whose job it was to get up in the morning and to fix the coffee. And the husband said, it's the wife's job to brew the coffee. And she says, no, it's the husband's job to brew the coffee. And they kept arguing about it. And she says, I'll prove it to you. It's in the Bible. He said, how can it be in the Bible? She took her Bible, she opened it up, and she said, right here, Hebrews. That'll help you remember one of the books of the Bible. I love that. Hebrews, okay. All right. So the question we ask ourselves this morning, am I living from default or by design? And when we claim the life we desire, we live by design because it's our life. Unique and special to each and every one of us. And I read the other day, a person living from their default dimension is living life dissatisfied while choosing not to change it. Hello? God, you know, that used to be me. This isn't any one of us now, but I know we know people, yes? As we open to designing our life more fully, we're reminded that the basic principle of our theme this month is claim the life you desire. For all of November, that's what we're talking about. Reverend Suzanne's going to do it at the end of the month, and it's claiming the life we desire. It's up to each one of us to claim our life in all of its glory. And in the fullness that life has for each one of us, and in its doubts and in its fears. It's all valuable to the whole aspect of who we are. Because you see, years ago, when I first heard that we can claim our life, I looked around at my life. And I saw nothing that I wanted to claim. Anybody else? Oh, I was a sorry sap. And my mistake was in judging myself by looking outside of myself. Anybody? Judging by my surroundings and what others thought of me and what others wanted from me and for me was my living by default. I realized that if I wanted life to change, it was up to me. It was an inside job. It's always an inside job. And living by design is totally our responsibility. And it meant I had to change my mind. And so I know some of you have heard the story of the tea bags, but I'm going to tell it again this morning. Because when Rick and I first got together, we both had cups of tea, and they were glass cups that we drink out of. And I would find all over the house these glass teacups. They're like pints. And they'd have a tea bag in them. Now, I have to tell you, I waited a long time for this man to come into my life. But every time I saw one of those tea cups and the tea bag in there, I would be so angry. Can't you just do that to the same thing? And I realized that by believing that and thinking that way, I was infecting my own belief system, my mind. And this one day, I thought about it and I said, you know, I waited a long time for this loving man to come into my life. And I was getting mad about him being in my life. Bless my heart. And so then I spent that day thinking about, what would my life be like without him? Think about maybe somebody that you might be having trouble with, or, What would your life be without them? And just imagine, I really like them in my life. And I realized I really liked having Rick in my life. And so if I wanted to keep it up, have this relationship grow and prosper, then I had to change what I believed about that. And so I kept loving having him in my life. And this one day, I went out to the garage, and there on his workbench was one of those cups with a tea bag in it. And it had grown hair on the tea bag. And I loved it. I loved it. And I said, thank you, God. Because I realized what had happened was I had changed my mind. I had changed my belief about what he did wrong and embraced all the love that I had for him. You see, that's how we live by design. When I complain, I realize I am living from default. I'm pointing the finger. Our complaints can be keys to our freedom, though. You see, once I realized that I was complaining and I was living from a place of complaint, that I was the only one that could change that. Not him. Because I had to turn this around to be loving. And if we're living from complaints, our complaints can be our key to freedom. Stop and think about that. Take a breath. Complaints ask us to shift our attention from outside of ourselves to our inner divine nature. You see, because within me is a greater truth, a greater love, a greater light, a greater glory, that I was allowing something outside of me to have greater power. Now, I'm sitting here this morning writing this talk, and Rick walks in. Because see, I get up really early on Sunday morning. And I asked him, because I always bring up two cups of tea. And I had just finished the second cup. And he comes in, he always comes in to say good morning because he just awakened. And I said, would you mind getting me another cup of tea? You know what his response was? He said, I dream of that. I dream of that. I said, whoa. I'm sure glad I stopped complaining about the tea bags and the glass. What we have grown into is a loving, nurturing relationship. But I could, but that just about knocked me over. I dream of that. What a response. How are we responding to things that are happening in our life? That's how we live by design. Complaining, being annoyed, fault finding. You know, he could have said, you gotta be kidding. You want me to go down and get you a cup of tea? I dream of that. Fault finding is our key to learning to live by design. If you're finding fault with anybody or anything, then ask yourself, what can I do differently? How can I be more loving in myself? Not about them. In me. Ask ourselves, what's our ultimate goal and our desire? Is it to live together peacefully from our loving hearts? Because I can tell you that makes all the difference in the world. Once I made peace with the D-bags, I was a happy girl. See, it means claiming within ourselves, I am the beloved place where God shows up. I am the beloved place where the unity and the harmony and the glory of God is mighty and powerful. And when I forget that, I'm going to point the finger. I'm going to complain. We have to keep it in front of our minds what God says about us. When I graduated from ministerial school, 21 years now. And I graduated from ministerial school, and my niece decided she was going to come out, she was going to fly out to be with Aunt Maggie because she was coming to celebrate my graduation. And her mother said, "Where are you going?" And she said, "I'm going to celebrate Aunt Maggie's graduation." And my sister said to her, "Well, she's not a real minister." I said, "Oh, let me pray for her." It's what people believe. Thank you, God. I didn't believe it. I said, after 3 years of ministerial school, I'm going to be a real minister. When we live by default, it means somebody else is defining us and we're allowing it. No way would I allow that. God being for me, it's up to each and every one of us to empty out our negativity and fill up with my God. My God is for me. Nobody else has to be. And so recently I had this book on my shelf for a while, and Spirit asked me to pick it up. And it's the sweetest book. It's Stephen Mitchell's book on Jesus, and he's quite a biblical scholar, but especially about Jesus. And it's the book of what Jesus really said and did. And so I started opening it, and it so touched my heart that I want to read a little bit to you this morning so that you can understand, because Jesus said, "You too shall do greater things than I have done." And we bypass that. So here he goes, Stephen goes on. Jesus taught that God's love is unconditional. This means that there is no preconditions that have to be satisfied. In order for God to love you, you don't have to believe anything. You don't have to believe in God. Jesus taught that God has a deep love for everything on earth. Let's breathe that in this morning. For the sick and the despised, the good and the bad, for weeds as well as flowers, lions as well as lambs. He taught that just as the sun gives light to both the wicked and the good, just as the rain brings nourishment to both the righteous and the unrighteous. So God's comparison embraces compassion. Excuse me. God's compassion embraces all people. When we are ready to receive it, it is there. I think that that's an important piece this morning, especially when we talk about living by design. And it goes on to say, those who were afraid and couldn't trust Jesus were not healed. Now hear that? Because they wouldn't let the healing in and allow it to be available within their own being. And it says, but some of those who trusted Jesus felt their illness begin to dissolve. As he put his hands on a sick person, Jesus felt a flow of energy from his body. It gave him great pleasure. There was a deep calm in him and a quiet sense of joy. The energy flowed through his body and out through his hands, which moved to whatever part of the body the person needed to have healed. The cures, when they happened, were not miracles. Though they must have seemed miraculous to those who had been healed, the human mind and body are much more powerful than we think. The human mind and our body is much more powerful. They allowed the man Jesus to move that energy through their body because they believed in him. Jesus himself said that he wasn't the one who was healing the people. It was their own trust in God and in themselves that healed them. It was their own trust in God and within themselves that healed them. Living by design is trusting that there is a power for good, and this power for good is here for us to use, to call upon, to say, I don't care what's going on in my life, there is a greater truth, and it's alive in me, and I'm going to turn it on and turn it up. Melody Brady said, live your life from your heart. Share from your heart. Live from the inside out. That's the truth. If there's anything you take with you this morning, it's that truth. Live from the inside out. So this morning, let's ask ourselves, are you willing to open your heart? Yes. Thank you. Are you willing to celebrate your divine nature?
Yes.
Good. If you know that you are infinite life, infinite love, great joy and peace, would you celebrate you?
Yes.
If you knew that absolutely everything that has ever happened to you for your evolutionary benefit and soul's expression was for the good, would you celebrate that?
Yes.
If you knew everything is for you and nothing is against you, despite appearances, sometimes we have to stop looking at appearances. Would you celebrate that?
Yes.
See. Let's start the celebration this morning. Celebrating what we are discovering, that right where we are, infinite possibilities reside. Knowing that celebration lifts you up. It's alive in you. So, in this moment, take a breath. What do you feel? Is there a sense of lightness? Can you find your lightheartedness? Oh, everything is working for me. Now think of something you love or are grateful for. Feel that. Feel that lightness. That lightness is God's essence in you. Breathe into it. I say it all the time, you're full of it. Claim it. Accept it. This is what Jesus focused on, so we can too. He focused on the sweetness and the essence of pure spirit that was alive within him. Living from our desire is an inside job. Designing our life begins in the inside. It isn't about anybody else. We begin by opening our heart in love for ourselves. Letting love flow is our job, in us first. See, because true prayer has nothing to seek. Instead, true prayer is expressing a deep love and gratitude for all that pours into our life, regardless of appearances. Thank you, God, for me pointing the finger, because it's going to bring me back to my divine nature. With joy and with challenges, we open our hearts to receive life's blessings. We open our hearts to receive God's love. We let it in more fully and more completely, giving us freedom to bless all of life from the overflow. See, this is what I know. As I sat there writing my talk, and Rick came in and said, I dream of that. It filled me up because I was already full from what I was writing here this morning. And then to have that happen, it was like, wow. We live our life from the overflow, especially in this political time. We, people of faith, are asked to see resolution. We're asked to see this time coming together. Right now, it looks pretty separate, doesn't it? Our job is to be so filled up that we see such a unity coming together in our government, in our lives, in the lives of all people. Demonstrators and people who aren't demonstrating. Yes, can we do that? Yeah. But first we have to see it for ourselves. We want to see greater unity for all. Harmony and working together for a world that works for everyone. This is our premise. This is the foundation that Science of Mind is based upon. We give it power. When we keep that picture in our mind of seeing, yeah, things seem pretty topsy-turvy, don't they? See it coming together with patience and loving kindness. Because we're in this world together. We can only do this from a full and faith-filled heart. So our job is to daily fill ourselves up, to fill our heart to overflowing, so when we see something around us or outside of us or a tea bag in a cup, we bless it and are grateful that this man is in my life, loving me. I invite each one of us today to take a good look at the adventure of our life and all the gifts God brings to us. Choose today to embrace all that life brings to you and stand tall, tall in God's great love for you, forever and always. We are being asked to fill up to overflowing. Willing?
Yes.
Able? Oh, of course you are. We're all going to live by design. Okay, let's take a deep breath and take that into prayer. So breathing into the sacred and holy place that we have created here together, we recognize that there's only one life, one power, one all-loving, all-nurturing presence by whatever name, God, the infinite, the divine, the beloved, Father of all. Is the light and the love that lives within my very being. I am filled to overflowing with the goodness, the grace, and the glory of God. And from this place of truth and knowingness, I, Maggie, know that I speak the word of God, and it is my pleasure and pure delight to speak this word for and about you, knowing and accepting that right where you are, God is, in its most magnificent, powerful expression. You are filled to overflowing with the glory, the grace, and the goodness of God. This is what I know to be true. And where there is a need for a healing, I call forth that miracle-working power of God in your life, for the life of your loved one, and in the lives of everyone in this world. May all lives be blessed and be a blessing. I'm blessing each and every one of the scientists that are creating the vaccine. I'm blessing each and every person for all wearing masks and staying safe and being mindful for the first for themselves and then for each other. I'm blessing all that is good and wonderful and all that brings us back to a greater knowingness that right where we are, God is. That there's an infinite wisdom and infinite power that belongs to you. And that today, you are grounded greater in that infinite wisdom, that love, no matter what's going on in your life, that you'd stop in this moment and you know, I am loved, I am cherished, I am adored. And that you feel full of that knowledge. This is what my wish is, my desire is for you this day. And filled up and overflowing, we send this same truth out to the hearts of the world. May all hearts be filled to overflowing. May all hearts be safe and at peace. May all live by design. It is unique and individual to each person. This is what I know. This is what I plan. That we all live in the mystery and the miracles of life. We design however we choose to be. Give thanks for that. And so I release my word into the ever-living, loving law of God that always says yes, returning to and through each and every one of us, multiplied, magnified, spilling over. We are full of it, and we celebrate that. And we just let God do God's work. And if you're in agreement, please join me in saying, and so it is. Amen.